Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Hello, Cindy.
Hello, Newman.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was such a good show. God damn, it really was.
Yeah. By the way, I've recently gotten into The Office. Where was I?
Oh, 20
years ago
it?
When that show was on the air. When was that? Where was I?
A long time ago. I don't know. Probably, I don't know, working.
I guess so. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Where the hell was I? I don't like sitcoms. I never watch sitcoms.
It's so like the anti-sitcom sitcom.
It's genius.
And now you know who all those people are, but when it was on, I think we only knew Steve Carell.
We didn't really. Then he did 40-Year-Old Virgin, and then, yeah. But, like, oh, yeah, because John Krasinski's, like, massive now.
They all are, yeah. Mindy Kaling, one. I mean, my God.
That's right. That's where Mindy Kaling came from. Oh, my God. Holy cow. That's right. I totally forgot that. Oh, Jesus. Well, that's a bit off topic. But we could do a good pop. Maybe we'll do a pop culture segment, actually, and we can revisit the...
Oh, wow.
Another idea for a different show. Because let's talk about what I'm obsessed with at the moment. Me.
Which?
Have you watched Fleabag?
Oh, everybody. We're holding it so that we can really watch all of them. But yes, everybody is obsessed, including my parents.
Really?
Yep.
That encourages me to no end. Because everyone I talk to about it, like at first I was like, what a disgust. Like, you see the billboard and it's like some girl like in a shamble with a rat or something, and it says Fleabag, and you're like, yeah, no thanks. Right? Like, I'll take a freaking pass. No. And then I saw a couple people post about it, and I was like, ugh, whatever. Then someone's like, oh, I heard it was good, and I was like, all right, maybe. And so I was traveling, and I had a rare occasion where I had gotten through some of the crap I needed to get done, so I watched one. And people are like, I don't want to give it away, but they're like, what's it about? And I was like, a millennial girl with intimacy issues. They're like, and? I'm like, and that's it. Like, I swear to God, that's it. Like, it's not like, and then they're cooking up meth because he got cancer and he's trying to raise money. It's like, you know, oh, there's a throne and everybody wants to sit on it. Like, it's not like that at all. And it's, oh my God. Like,
yeah, we're dying to watch it.
So what makes me feel encouraged, though, is I'm like, there is a certain kind of person that's going to get this and a certain kind of person that is not. Not a dumb person versus a smart person, but like the way this girl feels, you either feel that way or you don't.
Did you watch Girls?
I hated it.
I never watched it.
I watched the first episode and I was so disgusted and pissed. Huh. I never watched another one.
I feel like that, I mean, having never seen either of them,
right.
It seems like the same kind of thing where you either really relate.
I hated Girls.
Wow.
I watched the very first episode where they were having an abortion party.
Oy.
And I was like, that's not fucking funny. Fuck you.
Mm.
Oh my God, I found it to be offensive beyond offensive.
Well,
and I'm not easily offended.
True.
And it's like, I was like, I don't even understand how you think this is funny or like a rite of passage or like, I'm not like, that's a very complicated issue for me. I'm not going to lie. And after Heidi, I never understood, right? I was like, well, you know, I imagine that for a large amount of time, there's nobody in there. You know, it's just a bunch of cells. And then Heidi, I still took it very seriously, but not in the way I do now. Whereas, you know, when Heidi was pregnant and we got a ultrasound at 8 weeks and I saw my kid alive in there, I was like, oh, shit. He was alive. He was moving, cruising, wiggling and shit. I was like, oh, my God. I thought, like, nobody's home for, you know, a long time. I'm not here to make a political statement by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just saying I don't find it funny. And
yeah,
I hated that show so much that I never got past the first episode. Mm. And I could not understand, like how that was. I just thought it was disgusting.
See, I felt that way about the first episode of Black Mirror with the pig.
I didn't watch it.
And I didn't watch it for a year. And then I started hearing people talk about it. And I loved it.
Really?
I loved it. Although this last season was a little less like, wow. But it was good. But the other seasons were really good. It's sort of, people keep trying to say, oh, it's like Twilight Zone, just because it's the only thing.
So you can even possibly equate it to.
Yeah, but it all has to do with technology.
And how it's screwing us up.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, you would probably really like Black Mirror.
I watched a few.
Yeah.
Like the social media one where she just like starts to like.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah. Like I watched that one. I watched another one where they like live, they like die, but their minds are like uploaded.
Send Pranero or yeah.
Something. Oh. And they like have this love affair in this weird world.
Mackenzie Davis.
Like, I love it.
She's fantastic.
I mean, so like I watched two of those and thought they were really good. I have a hard time with standalones, but I'll try it.
Right, yeah.
I get super attached to characters.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try. I'll try it again.
I'm trying to think what we've watched with, like, characters that we were just.
Fleabag.
Oh, Shrill.
No, what's Shrill?
Oh, Shrill is 6 episodes. It's A.D. Bryant, and it's just, it's so good.
What's it on?
Maybe Hulu. I think it's Hulu.
Okay.
I get confused because there's so many.
What's it about?
I
know there's
It's Lindy West, who is a journalist, and it's about an overweight woman and what she deals with. But she's so good. A.D. Bryant's so good.
Okay.
And she's funny, and it's not like, blah, ha, ha, ha. It's just smart. It's just really smart. And I mean, 6 episodes, you go right through it.
You go right through it. That's how Fleabag is. You go right through it.
Yeah. What about Better Things?
Nope, don't know it. I liked Escape from Dannemora, though. I watched that because of you.
Yes.
And I just started Now They See Us, which is, Escape from Dannemora, true story, right?
Yep.
Oh my God, brilliant.
I mean, Patricia Arquette, all of them.
Ugh. And then Now They See Us, like I'm one episode in, and it's about that rape in Central Park, in like 1989, and how they crucify these young black boys. One is Latin. I'm only one episode in, but it makes me like physically sick. I'm so angry. I'm like, all right, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to watch the rest of this.
I remember when it was happening. It's just like,
see, I don't remember that. 89. I must have been 15. You remember? Well, I want to hear about Better Things, but wait, tell me. Oh, Better Things with that actress
Pamela Adlon. Yeah,
that's been on for a while.
Yeah,
right?
Like 3 seasons, I think, maybe 4.
She was on Louis C.K., right? Her?
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard it's excellent.
It's just so good. It's just like a single mom with 3 daughters. And it just feels real, you know? It just feels like there's no like, oh, isn't everything wonderful? No, it's like shit sometimes. Yeah.
Yes.
It's awesome.
That's okay. Really better awesome. Things. All right. I love it. And then, wait, tell me, you remember that with the boys?
I do. I was like,
did they ever find, I guess I'm giving away the whole show. Did they ever find the actual rapists?
You know, I think somebody.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, no, I do think there was somebody who confessed at some point. But there were lots of different things happening at the time. So they just threw them in. There were like groups of kids going around robbing people, and there were groups, and it just didn't feel right at the time. I mean, in New York, it was just the whole sense was like, this doesn't seem right somehow. I mean, to me.
One of the boys is 14 years old.
Yeah.
And what they do to this kid in 1989, it's not 1969.
Yeah.
It's 1989. And they illegally take them in a room. They have them waive their Miranda rights. They have no adults with them whatsoever. And they crucify them and threaten them and terrify them. And it is just, I thought to myself, like, if you're one of those cops that did that, knowing that's you on camera, how do you live with that?
Yeah.
How do you make that right? Like, it's fascinating. TV has become so good these days. Yeah. Movies, not so much.
Isn't that amazing? It's just...
Movies suck. Movies are terrible, but TV is like just in an all-time like...
Oh, there's so much, like I said, Hulu, or is it Amazon Prime, or is it Netflix, or was it HBO?
Yeah.
I mean, I
those
don't
are
know,
the channels.
Everything's just recorded or... Play it now. And I mean, Handmaid's Tale, I thought we were going to be able to see it on like Tuesday nights at 9 because it drops at midnight on the East Coast. And I thought I saw one once, but no, we had to wait till Wednesday.
There was
night.
A moment on the last Handmaid's Tale that I wasn't so sure about. Are you fully caught up?
I am, but I don't know if our listeners are. We'll save that for later.
There was a moment that I thought needed more character development.
I
wasn't sold on it.
The season isn't quite as strong, but I'm okay with that for now.
All right.
But I've been a little like,
Okay. But fair.
You know what's nuts that we really are liking? Fear the Walking Dead. They rebooted it. I was pissed off because, I don't want to say it if people have been watching or like.
I gave up on it after the first season and like.
Well, they kind of rebooted it, and my favorite character, Kim Dickens' character, was no longer there, and it pissed me off.
Oh, they killed her?
But it wasn't, it was like almost like off screen. But, you know, it was like, they kill her off. But I don't know. She really was the whole show. And now it took a turn and it's better.
Okay.
It's better because it's just different than the other ones. And, that was a great one that was just on. And Maggie Grace is on it playing this, like, real tough-ass person who's, like, collecting stories. I don't know. I like it.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying it again.
Books. What do you got?
Books.
You're the queen.
Well.
I don't read fiction. Give me something good.
My latest Andrew Sean Greer book, Max Tivoli. It's sort of Benjamin Button.
Okay.
He's aging backwards. But his characters are so brilliant. It's like it doesn't even matter what the book's about, because once you start reading, you're in it. I love his book so much. And I just got the new Kate Atkinson. She has a Jackson Brodie series. She's a British writer. And I've read pretty much everything. I mean, my favorite book of hers is Life After Life.
Ooh.
And it's somebody who...
What's that about?
Every time this girl and then woman dies, she's back again in another possibility of what her life
could have been. So she's like living out all her parallel universes, like sliding doors.
Yes.
All right.
Like in like she goes from being in London during the Blitz to being in Germany during the bombings.
Like every possible, quantum mechanics, every possible reality.
So good.
Do you know where that whole concept comes from, scientifically speaking, right? Okay, so the reason that we have like this whole sliding doors concept of these like parallel, infinite levels of parallel universes, it's obviously a theory, not a fact, but is in large part based on, I hope I'm not speaking too much out of turn, but as far as I know, in large part, based on the dual slit experiment. So essentially, a particle, right? Is it a particle, like one little tiny dot, or is it a wave, right? Mm. So they took, I believe it was a photon, one little particle, and there's slits, like a fork. Think of it like a fork, and behind the fork is like a some sort of background that can register where the photon is hitting, okay? So they fire, this is all real. Google it. Watch a YouTube thing on it. Like, what the bleep do we know covered it. Like, Google what the bleep do we know dual slit experiment on and pull it up on YouTube. It's 5 minutes. So they fire this photon at the fork or these slits, right? Where does it go? Take a guess. Does it go like the first one, the second one, the third one? Like, where do you think the photon's going to go through?
Or between.
Yeah. All of them.
Oh.
So they're like, oh, it's a wave. This isn't a single part. It's clearly a wave, and it creates what's called a wave interference pattern, like when water ripples. So they can see that it's a wave. Here's where it gets crazy, is that they're like, oh, wow, every tiny little particle can be in multiple places at the same time. And they call it like this wave of possibility. This is a fact. This part's fact. Next thing is they put a camera or some sort of device to observe exactly what's happening when they're firing this photon. And upon registering what's going on, right, watching this thing with a device, the wave of infinite possibility collapses into one reality, and it will go through only one slit in the fork instead of all of them at the same time. So upon observation, this infinity of possibilities collapses into one reality. Wow. But all the other realities, arguably, right, are they still out there? And if this is the reality for the infinitesimally small, we're made up of the same stuff, so is this the same reality for us?
Oh, wow.
That's where this comes from. All right, so now you guys have your marching order. Shrill, Fleabag, Life After Life.
Oh. Anything by Andrew Sean Greer.
All right, I'm gonna listen to Life After Life this on my summer vacation, Cinders.
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
We all want to save money, right? Well, Honey, this is actually the coolest thing ever, is a free browser extension that scans the web for coupon codes and discounts while you shop online, and it automatically applies the biggest savings to your cart at checkout. It's pretty cool, right? Like, I downloaded it. You could be shopping for something, and then it automatically says, hey, get this code and get 20% off. It's awesome. It works on over 20,000 sites like Amazon, Nordstrom, J.Crew, Nike, Best Buy, Target, Macy's, and so much more. And it takes zero effort to install. It's just two clicks. And you automatically start saving when you shop online. And I know it sounds too good to be true, but here's how it works. When you use a coupon provided by Honey, they earn a small commission from the merchant, and they pass along some of the savings to their members. Look, there's really no reason not to use Honey. It's free to use. It's easy to install on your computer in just two clicks. So don't take it from me, take it from our listeners. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Jillian. That's joinhoney.com/Jillian. Honey, online savings simplified. How many times have you had to make do with the makeup in your bag just so you could get ready in the car when something unexpected comes up? Well, Wonder Beauty gets it. Not only are their essentials multitasking, so there are fewer of them, but they're also better because Wonder Beauty is dedicated to clean beauty. Everything they make is cruelty-free, mess-free, and stress-free, and formulated with skin-loving ingredients. I love the Jet Setter Makeup Essentials Kit. It's their collection of three full-size multitaskers and a zipper pouch. So I can take the Wanderlust Powder Foundation, the Wander Out Dual Lipstick, and the Unlashed Volume and Curl Mascara with me wherever I go. It makes it so easy to be spontaneous, whether I'm coming from the gym or the airport. And now you can get 20% off your purchase at wanderbeauty.com/Jillian. That's wanderbeauty.com/Jillian for 20% off. WANDER beauty.com/Jillian.
Cindy, it's summer.
It is. Although you never know it out here in LA.
I know, it's been crappy out. I know, it's been totally overcast.
Ridiculous.
I know. But I thought that'd be a good segue into how many calories are in your glass of wine. Which I pulled off of Pop Sugar. I got to give them credit.
I am not listening.
No, you're allowed. I gave them credit. It's okay. I think. We're not plagiarizing. We're saying we're stealing this from Pop Sugar.
I mean, I don't want to hear how many calories I'm consuming.
Oh, you don't give a shit about plagiarizing someone else's content.
Oh, no, no. Go. Plagiarize away.
Well, okay. I got to say this, though. Like, whenever I drink, no matter how much I try to fight it, I gain weight.
Really?
Yeah, I put on like 5 pounds. Whoa. Instantly, even if my calories don't change.
Wow, how much you drink?
Like 6 to 8 drinks a week, which is way more than I would ever do. But I find that I go out for Mexican food on Friday night with my brother. I'll have a tequila on the rocks. The night before that, I was out with Bishop and her friend McKaylee. I had sake. Mm. Then it's like, oh, okay. You know, one night at home, there was another dinner. I had 2 glasses of red wine. I'm like 6 drinks in at this point.
Yeah.
2 drinks a night, three nights a week. I'm like 6 in. Sunday comes. Oh, you want a glass of champagne? Like, it's crazy how like 1 or 2 over the course of your week, 4 nights, 3 to 4, like you're, and I mean, it doesn't matter if I am training. It doesn't matter.
Really?
I just get thicker. My body, it tips, my hormone balance is so delicate that it just shifts my metabolism and I hold at least 5 pounds.
Wow.
And then I'm like, ugh, all right, stop drinking, falls off in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Literally falls off. But the calories do matter. It does matter. But the reason that alcohol goes beyond calories is because of how it affects your hormones, and your hormones are your metabolism, right? So that's why too much drinking has been linked to ovarian cancer, breast cancers, because it elevates your estrogen levels. Mm. And it releases more cortisol, and it's its own type of fuel. It's not a carbohydrate. It's not a protein. It's not a fat. It's its own. It's kind of crazy. It's its own thing that actually needs to get processed by your body, which then inhibits, but before it processes other types of fuel, which inhibits your fat metabolism significantly. So, I mean, that was not what this was about. This was trying to give you hope with some information.
Well, no, but what you just said, actually, I used to experience. If I wanted to thin out at all,
stop drinking,
it was,
man.
2 weeks of no alcohol and no cheese or something, you know, whatever.
2 weeks
whatever
of no
I was
booze,
eating too much of, but
increase
booze.
My water consumption. Yeah. Done.
Wow.
That and like really adhering to my 12-hour fasting window. Mm. And the reason that matters is because like last night I was laying in bed and I was like, God, I wanted popcorn so bad, so bad. And I was like, no. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I was addicted to sleeping pills so I could just go to bed. Like, yeah, instead of sitting here thinking about popcorn. But it's like, that is why. Because you're just eating extra food. That's why it's like if I adhere to that, I am cutting out an extra 200 calories a week.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, a day.
Okay, yeah.
Over a week, which is like 14. It's a half a pound.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks, I'm up a pound. I'm little. 3 pounds on me, you see immediately.
Yeah.
For better and for worse. Like if I get too skinny, my face looks like I look 100 years old. If I am like just 3 pounds heavier, it's like I look a little thick and soft. It's like 116.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. Yeah. Being as little as me.
You're small.
Yeah, you see it immediately.
I definitely notice it.
100%. So anyway, I promised you answers. First one is rosé. All right. So it says a glass of rosé will set you back about 126 calories. But it says it could vary a little bit from brand to brand.
And size of the glass.
Right. All right, now Chardonnay, it's pretty much the exact same thing. This is really going to suck, actually. I didn't read this because I wanted to experience it with you guys, but if they're all 123 calories, it's going to be a real friggin' problem. Okay, but it does say, here's what they do give us. They say, a study from the University of Buffalo found drinking white wine was associated with better lung function. So maybe there's that. I have also read that white wine helps lower your blood sugar. So if you're going to have it with a high-carb meal, it can help manage insulin levels. I've read that multiple times. I can't cite the study, but I have seen it before. All right. Oh, this is bullshit. Here's Cabernet, 122 calories per glass. What's the point of this, Pop Sugar? Oh, no. All right, we're going to have to find another reason.
Just call it wine.
I know. Shit. But, I mean, okay, so we're going to go with why red wine, more antioxidants, more resveratrol, right? So that's good for anti-aging and fighting off diseases. Oh, no, Cindy. This is a complete flop. Ready? Pinot Noir. Take a guess.
Oh, 123?
121!
Shit.
I'm going to file a complaint. Hold on. Come on. Oh, no, dude. This is a car crash.
Cabernet.
Merlot.
120?
122. What is wrong with it? Oh, 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 a Riesling.
Well, that's got to be high. That's got to be like 125.
118.
Oh, no.
Clearly the choice to make.
I always think that they're so high in sugar.
Doesn't matter. Nope. Calories are not sugar.
I know.
If there's anything we can take away from this segment, like, it's really, going to be that.
All this wine is like grapes and water.
Apparently. Although a winemaker would probably go banana shorts.
I mean, it.
Fermented.
Are calories in alcohol? I mean, so the alcohol content, if it's higher, would that be
doesn't
more calories?
Matter though when it comes to weight where the calories are from.
Although, with that said,
I just contradict myself because I will say that with wine, because of how it affects my hormones, it is the one food that will actually change my metabolism, despite the calorie allowance. So, or alcohol.
Wow.
Alcohol in general. But this is all wine. Shit. Pinot Grigio.
Oh, I'd give it a 121.
122. Oh, no. This writer sucks. Tara Sheafy?
But the
dude,
whole, but that's
why didn't you just say this is how many calories in a glass of wine? Why didn't you just add it up with, like, vodka, tequila, and bourbon?
I think we've got somebody who's very anal.
Tara.
Very, very detail-oriented and very specific.
Sauvignon Blanc.
I give up.
119.
See, that's
she doesn't even give me a reason.
That's Lori's favorite.
That's the end.
And she drinks white with carbs. So,
whew, boy,
there you go.
All right.
Well, that was a disaster.
Shit, it was a disaster.
Life can get pretty demanding. With everything you have going on, it's not always easy to find time for yourself. So now there's Talkspace. It's online therapy for how we live today. With Talkspace, taking care of your mental health has never been more convenient because it's mobile and affordable. 1 month of therapy on the Talkspace platform costs about the same as a single face-to-face session. Just finding the right therapist can be stressful, but Talkspace makes it easy because they use your unique preferences to find somebody whose style and expertise matches your needs. Talkspace has more than 5,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing the challenges we all face. To match with your perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com and make sure you use the code Jillian to get $65 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's Talkspace.com, promo code Jillian. There's so many hair products out there that just don't live up to their promises, and I was pretty disappointed until I found Living Proof. The thing that stands out to me is that they approach the toughest beauty challenges with technology from MIT scientists, so you know you're dealing with science, not just marketing gimmicks and false promises, to be honest. Living Proof products do exactly what they claim to do, all without silicones, parabens, phthalates, and they don't test on animals. Holla! My favorite thing about Living Proof's dry shampoo, oh my God, it actually cleans my hair. Instead of just masking oil, sweat, and odors, it removes them completely. So my hair looks clean and fresh. Do what I did and make the switch to Living Proof today by visiting livingproof.com/Jillian and use the promo code Jillian to get a free sample of their award-winning dry shampoo with your purchase. That's livingproof.com/Jillian, promo code Jillian for a free sample of dry shampoo with your purchase. livingproof.com/Jillian, promo code Jillian.
All right. Are we going?
All
are we
right.
rolling?
We're going.
Caller. I'm excited. Introduce me.
You have a caller. Caller. We have caller Mindy.
Yay! Hi, Mindy.
Hi.
Uh-oh.
Hi.
Mindy does not sound good. Mindy, are you okay, pal?
No. Hi.
What's going on, buddy?
I'm great. Actually, before we get into it, I just want to say thank you. You spend every Monday morning with me, and I just really appreciate you sharing, like, everything that you do for everybody, you share your personal life with us, and it makes us feel so much better. So I wrote in because I am turning 40, and it totally sucks. And it seems like everything is just, I'm just stuck. And there's two questions that I have, and I think it's related to turning 40 or just this whole birthday that I'm totally going to skip in about a month from now. I am having a hard time losing just 10 pounds, and I know it sounds easy, and it used to be easy before I started getting a little bit older, and I can't figure out what it is. I eat pretty good. I'm pretty sure it's because I'm not wanting to move more and work out. And my second question is, how do you find your life purpose? And I think it's a side effect of turning 40 because I've been thinking about this a lot. And I think that by now I should probably have known what it is.
Okay. Okay, hold on.
I'm looking for your advice.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. There's so much going on here. All right.
Yeah.
So the first thing is, like, why are you so afraid of turning 40?
I know you don't like the answer. I don't know, but I really don't know. I think it's more of like, holy crap, this is what 40 is. And maybe it's because I've been working so hard and having kids and just haven't stopped to see, like, oh my gosh, is this where I'm supposed to be right now? Should I be more successful or should I be doing something else with myself? And I'm halfway done.
Okay. Hold on. So you have to abandon this stigma you have around the number, because it's actually a great age. And a midlife crisis is a midlife crisis there's a good reason for a midlife crisis. And I once described it to somebody as, you know, you think when you're young and it's like, oh, I'm getting old and I want to recapture my youth. No, that's not a midlife crisis. A midlife crisis is when you have been living in such a way that by the time you are 40, literally your back is breaking. The way you've been living is just shattering you. You can no longer continue to do the things you've been doing, and that's a good thing. Now, it's scary because it's what you know, and then it's like, well, I don't know where to go from here, but you figure it out. So what I mean by that is, like, when I turned 40, it wasn't a matter of like, oh, I'm older because I was in perfect shape, perfectly healthy. That's not an issue. Or I look this way or I look that way, like, whatever. You know, we're all going to get old and die. Like, that's just part of being human. And I never really traded off the currency of youth anyway. It wasn't like, oh, I'm this, like, young, nubile female. Like, let me use my feminine. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It just wasn't so I didn't have this, like, crush of, men don't look at me the same way. Like, I didn't have that either. But I definitely got to a place where I felt like Atlas. And I know I'm not alone, where I was like, Jesus, I am taking on all this shit and I am drowning. And I have not put the oxygen mask on first. I am miserable. And I had to, everything that at one time in my life gave me value, right? It was like, oh, but I'm the hero. I'm the white knight. I'm the one that takes care of everything. I'm the one that takes care of everybody. That's my value. That's who I am. I was so miserable and so unhappy. And then I had to, like, undo all of these things that I'd sort of put on my plate. I had to take them off, which I was ashamed about, embarrassed of, and really find a new way forward. And that's a good thing because I'm 45 and I didn't think I was going to be able to do that at 40. And here I am at 45 and I'm like, I got through that. I'm better off for it. And I'm a happier person because of it. So try not to look at this as like, I'm 40 and oh my God, it's over and it's all downhill. It's not. The key here is for you to look at what is making you dissatisfied in your life. First of all, like, really stop and think, like, what is unlivable to you, even if you think it shouldn't be. Like, as much as I care about my ex and I think she's a very good person, like, I was getting zero out of our relationship at the end. Zero. None. And not because it just, we didn't have anything to offer each other anymore. And I was like, I can't leave. You know, we have two kids. Like, I can't, like, this isn't an option. This is not what you do. You know, you just, this is life. Like, you suck it up and you figure it out. And it wasn't fair to either one of us. And then finally we got to a place where we were both like, all right, we, you know, we are better friends than we are partners in this way. But I could not have been felt more alone than I did in that relationship at the end. At the end. In the beginning, I mean, we were great. But then 10 years later, like, it just, life happens. Shit happens. People change. I had to look at that. I had to look at my, the way I was with my family and my friends, where I was like, let me take everything on. Let me solve all your problems. And then feel angry like they didn't appreciate it, right? Which was all my fault. I had to look at that. I had to look at the way I was with my business. I had to look at everything and reevaluate it and strip it down. And I'm saying, you need to do that. Like, that's what this is about. It's not about the number of being 40. It's, yes, we can get into your life's purpose, but first you need to figure out why you're not feeling free enough to connect with it. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, it does.
I want you to stop and really look at the things that are feeling unlivable to you, even though you feel like you should be doing them and you should be able to live with them. Like, you can't, you won't, you're not. Find a way out. Unravel it. I looked at it like my life was a knot of necklaces. And, you know what I mean? Just like when you have a thin chain that's so badly fucked, you're like, I just need to throw the whole thing out. But it's like, no, just sit there and like take it apart, unwind it, undo it, break it down, unwind it is the key word. And then from there, finding your passion is a very methodical thing. You know, for me, back in the day, I was a trainer. And what I mean by that is I literally would get up in the morning and I would go to work and I would personal train clients all day long. And I was like, oh, I have Alice today. I love her. Oh, Roberta. Can't wait to see the bird. Like, you know what I mean? And I would get a phone call from Karen, who was 10 pounds down after, you know, a couple of months and like in tears because the first time the scale has moved. And I loved my job. I loved it. I had a purpose. Then I got to a point in my career. And the one thing about Loser, despite all the shit that I hated about it, I did get to work with people. So even though it was a different platform, I still got to do personal training. So I had that. When that ended and it became all about like, oh, we need you to approve this label of Lucky Jack. And then we need you to take a look at this, like the logo on this, you know, this hand weight that's going into Walmart. And then we, you know, you're writing a book and then you're going to do a program for your, I started to feel more and more removed. Right. And I got away from my purpose. So I was like, okay, I like this. This is what I like. How can I build this back into my life in whatever way necessary? So whether it was doing speaking engagements or whether it was getting involved in charity or whatever it might be that got me around people and working with people every single day so that I had that meaning and that purpose again. So you're going to need to be more fluid. You're going to need to create opportunities where you can live out the things that make you feel passionate. And in order to get in touch with the things that make you feel passionate, right? So you got to look at A, why you're not allowing yourself to do those things and unwind them. B, I need you to start taking like a real emotional inventory. And I've talked about this before, where every hour, right? This is an exercise that I give people. Every hour, waking hours, I want you to stop and take an inventory. Set your alarm. It goes off. Where are you? What are you doing? Okay, I'm walking my dog, and I am, how do I feel? Happy. What is it? Animals? Is it being in nature? Is it physical exercise? What is it about it that you love? Okay. Think of it as like a hotter, colder game. Oh, it's nature. Great. I need to be in nature more. Okay. Start cultivating that. Oh, it's animals. I love working with animals. Okay. Maybe it's like, do I go back to school and get into zoology? Is it that I want to be a dog trainer? Is it that I want to start a kennel? Like, you know, when people go out of town, I watch their dogs, a doggy hotel. Like, it doesn't matter if it seems frivolous or silly, because the truth of the matter is, the more you pursue the things you're passionate about, the more affluence and abundance you have. The more you seek out security, the less you're going to have. So, you know, Caesar Milan, a guy that liked dogs. Mrs. Fields, a woman with a really cool cookie recipe, right? Martha Stewart was a caterer, like, and she left a job on Wall Street. Then everybody that gets into the job they think they should have, the 9-to-5, the responsible, the desk job, they are miserable, they hate it, they get laid off, and the list goes on. So you're going to do this every hour. And if it's friends, right? Like, oh, my alarm went off. I'm hanging out with my buddy Cindy. Cindy makes me feel calm, like comfortable, welcome, less alone. I need to cultivate that friendship more. If Cindy makes me feel less than, insecure, whatever, I am deleting that bitch off of my Instagram and I'm never going to see her again, right? Like, I want you to start really paying attention to where you are, who you're with, and what you're doing throughout the course of your day, how it makes you feel, for better or for worse. And if it's a good thing, you want to cultivate more of that in your life. And if it's a bad thing, you want to start weeding that out more in your life. And this allows you to, over time, really hone and fine-tune what it is you love, what it is you're passionate about, and start thinking about how to make it a business. And even if it isn't a business, like, charity's not a business for me. My business now is Aqua Hydrate, alkaline water, and organic Lucky Jack Nitro Cold Brew, and, you know, this line of handheld equipment at Walmart, and the Jillian Michaels app, and that's my business, right? Like, my business, I don't ever deal with people directly anymore. I create things for people, but I never get to deal with people. So it's like, okay, I have gotten very passionate about doing charity work because I'm dealing with people. So as long as I have that passion in my life, I still love what I do, but the part of me that had that deeper sense of purpose where it was like the client would show up and I'd see the progress in real time. Like, somebody might work out with my app, but I don't get to see that they did that push-up for the first time. I'm not there. So as much as I like love being a part of their journey, I wish I was physically there to see it. So I have to find that in other ways, right? So it's about giving yourself permission to let go of the things that are making you miserable, cultivate the things that make you happy, and then being very flexible with how they manifest in your life. And time, sweetie, this doesn't happen overnight. We're all a work in progress. That's going to be basically 40 to 40-something. And then 50s and 60s, that's when you can get into the whole, like, fuck it, I don't care what anybody thinks. But right now, it really matters the most, right? Now is where it's like, all right, I've done all this thus far, and everything I've built I did because it was how I survived up until now. But what part of this is no longer serving me? And how do I start fresh? It's kind of like, honestly, being reborn in a way. So it is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's a good thing and it's going to be worth it.
Yes, but thank you. I knew that you would have the answer.
Well,
I'm going to do that.
I have an arrow that points in a direction. the answers you'll find on that journey, if it makes sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been thinking about this for a while, so, and I haven't been able to come up with anything. So I will do that. I will.
And it's like this malaise, this like blah, where you're just like, Jesus, is that all there is? And the answer is no, but. You got to do, you know, we fend off that like hardcore sadness, but we're in this like state of like complete malaise and like this low grade depression. And it's fucking brutal, dude. And it finally ground me down so hardcore that I had no choice but to move. So I hope it doesn't get there for you. Maybe it's there now, but either way, you will get there. And just remember, it is a good thing. You will be okay and you will be better for it.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't sound convincing.
Thank you.
We need to check back in. We're going to check back in.
Yeah, let us know how it goes.
Yeah, kid. Check back in.
Okay.
All right.
I will. Thank you so much.
Have a great day, sweetheart.
Okay, thanks.
Did you have a crush in your 40s?
You know, I never thought anything about age until 40. Oof. And at 40, I was like, huh. You know, each decade, I think you look back and go, oh, my God. I was younger than I thought I was, and not give so much weight to the age.
100%. Okay, guys, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you get it weekly. You don't even have to think about it on iTunes or Spotify or wherever else you're listening.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.